each one that is here. Thank you for being here, and I hope that you are here to worship. Worship the one that wants to give us rest. So, again, thank you for being here. I really appreciated what the devotions and the songs so far that were led. And, I was just really blessed by it. And the rest that God wants to give us, the love that God has for us, and the rest that He wants to give to us, to provide for us. And I believe it's no different. It's very similar to the rest that God wanted for His children in the book of Joshua. And so, as the children of Israel were preparing to enter the promised land, there was one thing in their way, and that was the Jordan River. And this morning, there may be obstacles in our way to experience the rest that God wants for us. And so those obstacles, that river that's in front of you, what is it? And how can we pass through it? How can we get through it? Like Randy said, we're going to be looking at the book of Joshua again this morning, and some of you may be thinking, oh boy, here we go, another sermon in Joshua, the Old Testament, be another sleeper. But seriously, why is it important for us to look at the Old Testament? And more importantly, why is it important for us to look at the book of Joshua? It's really interesting to me to know, how the New and the Old Testament reflect each other, how closely related they are to each other. And as I study the book of Joshua and even the Old Testament, it just it becomes more and more clear to me how they relate to each other. But Joshua is a book that tells of God keeping His promises to His chosen people. And we looked at that last time we looked at Joshua, and I hope this morning isn't too similar to what I preached before on Joshua, but it's going to be a continuation of God's promises and resting in His promises. I believe that this story here in Joshua chapter 1 and the children of Israel entering the promised land, I believe it mirrors our future promise that God has made for us in John chapter 14. And I'm going to read that in a little bit later on, but I believe it's a mirror of God's promise to us. And as the children of Israel had to wait for years and years and even generations for that to happen, for the promise to come to pass, we are waiting for our promise to come to pass. I also believe that the location of the promised land is significant as well. The location of Canaan is significant, I believe. And I believe that it is a pattern that looks back to the Garden of Eden. There are scripture verses in the Bible. It refers to the land of Canaan. It refers to the land of Canaan being like as to the Garden of Eden. And there are a few references that I was going to turn to, but I don't think we will at this time. But there's a reference in Genesis, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Joel. A reference is referring to Canaan as like to Eden. I believe that Joshua is also a type of Christ in this story. Everything that the Israelites had experienced, everything that the Israelites had received and conquered, it came from God through Joshua's leadership. Everything that we receive from God came through Jesus and what He did for us. And you see, the Israelites didn't The Israelites didn't have Jesus back then. Jesus was not born yet. God didn't send his son at that time. All they had was, they had, not all they had, but they had God. They didn't have Jesus living on earth or his redemption. And so it was a little different for the Israelites. They didn't have, I don't believe they had maybe as close a relationship with God as what we can have through Jesus. But they experienced God through the Ark of the Covenant, and God being, his presence being in the Ark of the Covenant. And God spoke through men. God spoke through men to the people back then, instead of God speaking to us directly through the Spirit. Last time that we looked here in Joshua, we did some history on the children of Israel, where they came from, and studied where, what they were doing in Egypt, how they got there, and what caused them to return, to begin their return voyage back to the Promised Land, back to their homeland. And this brings us to God's people. Where we're at here this morning is God's people are on the east side of the Jordan, ready to cross over the Jordan to enter the Promised Land. And on the east side of the Jordan, there was some of the tribes have already entered their Promised Land. That was their Promised Land where they were, and so they had the. I guess they would have been tempted to enter the rest then and there, but not all of them had at that time. Some of them, most of them, had to cross the Jordan to enter their heritage or their inheritance. As we study, we need to remember that this all points to Jesus coming in the future. This all points to a coming Savior. The children of Israel going to the Canaan, it points to where Jesus is going to be born. Because where Jesus lived his life was in the Promised Land, right? He was born in Canaan, in that region. And Jesus died there, and he lived his life there. That's where Jesus lived his life. And that's not, and it's significant because if the Israelites did not go there, it would have happened somewhere else. I mean, Jesus would have lived his life elsewhere. The land of Canaan was where God planned his redemption location. And so God was leading them, leading the children of Israel to this place. And just meditating on this story and thinking about it, it brought some questions to my mind that I had to research to look up. And one of the questions was, where was the Garden of Eden located? Because Canaan is referred to as like unto the Garden of Eden. And so something that came to my mind, well, where was the Garden of Eden? Was it in Canaan? maybe some of you know where the Garden of Eden was. But in my research, I found out that I don't think anybody does know, because the flood had destroyed the earth. And I don't think there's any way of telling where exactly the Garden of Eden was. Also, in studying the story of God's people's return to their homeland, again, I believe it's a parallel of our lives in our quest as Christians to our homeland. We are on a journey to our homeland, just as the children of Israel were to theirs. So turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 18. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV here this morning. It says this, "And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God, excuse me, The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So in verse 10 there, it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, and the officers were appointed leaders of the children of Israel at that time. They were appointed by the people. And so Joshua commanded the officers to pass through the midst and command the people to what? It says to prepare your provisions. And that's a phrase that I want to look at here this morning. Preparing your provision. The provision back then, or in this text here, was talking about, I believe was talking mostly about food. Not only food for them. At this time, God was still preparing or giving them manna from heaven, but they also needed food for their animals, I believe, for their livestock. So, and in the King James Version, it says, prepare your victuals, which again is translated to the word food. The time has come. Prepare your provision. It was a time where Joshua said, okay, the time has come. Pack your bags, guys. It's time to go. The time has come. And I believe that the Israelites' time had finally come to enter the promised land. And I think they waited a long time for this. They waited many, many years. They had to go through a lot of things. And the time had finally come. Just like I had to think of in our everyday lives, just like us, when we're expecting our first child, what went through your mind when you learned that you were going to have a baby? It was a life changer for me, and it has a way of grabbing your attention. It's time when you hear that, it's time to prepare your provision. It's time to get ready. And some of the thoughts that may have been going through their mind would be the same emotions that we experience when we hear them words. When you hear the words, we're going to have a baby, if your wife calls you on the phone, says, we're going to have a baby. Or, you know, when she, however she tells you. The emotions of that statement, I think, is similar to what these children of Israel were experiencing. Do you think that the Israelites knew what they were getting into, entering into their rest? Do you think they knew what they were going to get into? Do they know what the battles would be ahead? Maybe they thought that they were just going to cross over the Jordan and just be able to take over their land without a fight. Maybe they had no idea. And then in the next phrase, Joshua gives them the amount of time to get ready. It says, within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go and to possess the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. 3 days. You may think that 3 days is a long time to prepare, your provisions. It's a good amount of time. But I believe that 3 days to them was a lot shorter of a time because they had a lot to get ready. They didn't have the fast foods that we have. If you can imagine yourself packing up for a trip, they didn't have places where they could just pull over, and they didn't have vehicles, number one. They had probably horses with wagons to put their stuff on. But they had to plan. I mean, they had to be very organized, very detailed in planning. And so 3 days was not a long time. They had to get ready quickly. And in my studies, I found that the children of Israel, the amount of the people of the children of Israel during this time was about 2 to 3 million people. And so for all these people to get ready in 3 days was a big deal. And again, it took me back to the urgency of, okay, it's time to get ready. We need to get ready to go. The analogy of having a baby is when you're in the hospital, and not when you're in the hospital, but when your wife's labor starts, you know, you have to be ready. You have to hurry up and go. For some of us, you don't have much time to get there. But just all the anxiety and all the excitement that goes with it. The Israelites, they didn't have a home place at this time. They didn't have a homeland. They were on the move for years, just living in tents. And I can't imagine the excitement of the children of Israel being able to know that they're going to soon arrive at their restful place. God was about to fulfill His promise to His people, to His chosen people. And again, this scripture is encouraging. So it's encouraging to me because it's another example of God keeping His promise. God has promised to us that He is going to return, and we can rest in that promise that He will, because God does keep His promises. And this is a story of a time where He did. And I had to think that there is no sweeter or safer place to be than in God's will. I think the children of Israel knew God's promise to them that they were going to take on the land. And I don't believe there was any better place for them to be than in God's will for their lives, God's plan for their lives. I believe that God's promise to be with Joshua and the people had to feel so good to them. I'm sure it gave them rest on the field to know that they were in God's plan. And verses 12 through 15, Jesus commands the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. He tells them that even though that they have received their inheritance, even though they have arrived to the place of their inheritance, that they were to go with and assist their brothers until the rest of them have received their inheritance. And I have a map here. showing the 12 tribes of Israel there, and you can see the areas where and I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's approximate areas, but you can see most of the 12 tribes are up there except the tribe of Levi, which I didn't study into great detail, but the tribe of Levi did not inherit land. They inherited God's presence in their lives, or their inheritance was something different than land. But you can see there the tribe, you know, the Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And you can see the area where Judah is there. And you can see Jerusalem and Bethlehem was at the top part there. And then on the east side of the Jordan there, I don't have a pointer, but you can see the tribe of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben were on the east side. So they have already arrived at their inherited land. But in verses 12 through 15, Joshua reminds them that they promised to be with their brothers until they all arrived at the land of their inheritance. And so they had to leave. It says in there that they were to leave their children, their land, and go with to fight and to go with their brothers to inherit their land. And I just thought, what a great picture of unity this was, we as a brotherhood here, I believe, must have each other's lives in mind and not just our own. And I had to think, am I willing to give up my own restful home, maybe my own restful life, for the one sitting next to us, if they're going through a tough time or if they have a home that's not restful? Am I willing as a brother to go through that with them, to walk through it with them? And I do want to bless those of you that have done this, because I think that we do well with carrying each other's burdens. And some of you I see doing it often, and I just want to bless you for that. But there's always room for improvement for the rest of us. I believe that we need to find ways to go through things with our brothers and sisters here at church until we enter a more restful place. I mean, until we get to a spot where we can rest. Our main goal here as a church, as a brotherhood, is for each one to enter our promised land when the Lord returns. I believe that is our goal. And I don't believe that we need to wait until we die to enter to enter God's presence or God's kingdom. We can experience it here on earth by being in the center of His will that He has for us. So let's keep caring for each other. Let's keep praying for each other, and let's have the good of others in mind as we worship together. This morning we're going to be taking on some new members, and it's exciting. I thought that maybe I should preach on something about church membership or the blessing of brothers, but this morning we are taking in new members, and it's exciting. I'm excited to have you guys being a part of us, of our group. And I would just encourage each one of you that are coming into our congregation to get involved. Get involved in helping your fellow brothers and sisters. don't just come here to be fed, but come here to help. Spend time in learning God's word. And share with us what you're learning. Share with others what you're learning. The last section of verses, and the from verses 10 through the end of the chapter, I believe there's a lot in here. And first of all, Joshua is displaying his faith in God. Joshua is displaying that his faith that he had in God and what he spoke to him. And I believe that was one of the first messages that I preached. And it's funny how you remember these things. But one of the first messages I preached was on the faith chapter. And what is faith? What is our faith? What does it consist of? And I used the acronym of STAR, being a star of faith. S standing for, and this, I was just thinking of Joshua's obedience to God and his faith that he had. It consisted of S standing for God speaks to us. God spoke to Joshua and told him what he wanted him to do. And then the T stands for trusting in what God tells us. We need to trust that it came from God, and trust God's words to us. And then A stands for action. If we don't act on what God tells us, I don't believe that we have faith. And in our verses this morning, we see Joshua putting into action what God told him. he takes command, and he's preparing the people to get ready for action. And then the R stands for reward. God rewarded Joshua in many ways during this during this voyage of going over the Jordan, and the details and the miracles that God did, I think we'll look at those. And but God rewarded them, and God rewarded His people by giving them this land. So God rewards our faith. And I believe in this passage, Joshua demonstrates his faith by action, by getting the people to move. And has there been a time when God has spoken to you? Or maybe He's speaking to you right now. Another question that you may be asking is, how do you know when God speaks to you? How do we know when God tells us to do something? I believe that God spoke audibly to Joshua, and so Joshua is very confident that it was God speaking to him. But how does God speak to us today? I had to think about it a little bit, and I believe that God speaks to us, speaks to His people through other people of faith, of our faith. It could be another brother or sister here from church. If someone asks you to teach a class, or even to preach a sermon, even though you're not a preacher, if someone asks you to do that, does God use things like this to speak to you? Does God use other people to speak to you? Does He? I think He does. I think it gives you the opportunity to act. Now, does that mean that if you say no, you're saying no to God? I don't believe that. I believe when you're asked to do something in life that you ought to pursue God. You need to pursue God and talk to God about it. And maybe talk to God. Give Him your reason why you can't or why you won't do it. And I believe that God may use this of somebody asking you to do something. I believe God that can use this in preparing you for something in the future too. Maybe it might not be that at that time. But it could be that He's preparing you for something else. If you say no, I would say then keep praying and ask God what He would have for you. And can you think of a time when you were asked to do something bigger than what you thought you could handle? It has to be about, I believe, 6 to 8 years now, but we were on the road traveling to, I think it was to Ohio, and I got a phone call. I didn't recognize the number, but I answered it anyway, and they said who it was, and they asked me if I would be willing to move to a new location, and be a administrator at a school, and talk about being shook. I was like, man, I don't know. I was early 30s, had a young family. I was like, man, that seems really big. But was that God speaking to me? Was that God asking me to do something? And obviously, I said that I wasn't ready for it, and that maybe a couple of years I would be ready for it, but I believe that God uses things like that to prepare us for other things. And again, back to the phrase, prepare your provision, and not only the food, but preparing yourself in other ways, spiritually, or just preparing yourself to be able to serve. I guess my point is this, though, that we need to prepare ourselves for kingdom work. Whether it's helping with a church plant, we're talking about the possibility of having a church plant. Maybe that's the new thing that God is going to, maybe that's the new river that God is going to take you through. Or maybe it's helping out in a position here at this church. Maybe it's even moving away in foreign missions, in the mission field somewhere. But I believe that God uses people. I believe that God uses his people to speak to us. And we need to be willing to, I think we need to be willing to listen to God. And not that we have to do what people ask us to do, but we need to communicate with God and talk to God, meditate on it, and find out what God does want you to do, where he wants you to be. I was talking to my my brother-in-law last night about being in the lot for deacon tonight at a service tonight, and he has a lot of things going on right now. He's in the middle of not in the middle, but he's still finishing up his schooling for being a nurse, and he's working. He's being a dad, and he's a younger man. But he understands that if God calls him, that there's no better place for him than to where God is calling him. And that is so true. I believe that if God calls us to big things, we just need to remember that there's no better place for us than being where God calls us. So, children of Wilmsdorf, some questions I have for you, for us. Where are we on our journey as a group? Where are you on your journey? In our physical and our spiritual lives, where are we? I had to think, are we wandering in the wilderness still? Are we trying to just make sense of life, just getting by, just going from day to day in survival mode? Or are we resting on the east side of the Jordan, preparing to enter a new territory or a new community? Are we preparing for a church plant? Is God preparing us? Are we preparing our provisions to take on new territory? Or are we simply just resting where we're at, enjoying the blessings God has blessed us with? Are we willing to walk with our brothers till they reach their territory where God's telling them to go? I believe with Family Harvest, the church plant Family Harvest, I believe it's a beautiful picture of us just being willing to walk with them to help them get started, help them get on their feet. And once they arrived, once they're there and set up and going, then they can stand on their own. They've reached their place. I believe that this is also a picture of we as Christ followers entering the land that God is preparing for us. The time is coming where we will enter our promised land in heaven. Not only being in the presence of God or having God's presence with us here, but we will enter our promised land in heaven. And I believe that we need to be preparing our provisions, not our food, but we need to be preparing our lives spiritually for that, to enter, to receive our inheritance. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, if you want to, you can turn to it. Give me a little bit more time to find it. John 14, verses 1 through 4 says this: Let not your hearts be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. That is a promise from God to us, that He is preparing a place for us. We have a homeland promised to us. And it's going to be our very own Canaan. It's going to be our resting place. And I don't believe it's too far off. And are we preparing? Are you making provisions to enter? And you may ask, how do I make provisions to get to heaven? How do I prepare myself for that? And again, I want to remind you that we don't have to wait till we die to enter our restful place. Living in God's will is a restful place. It's a good place to be. I believe that in the question of how do we prepare for our restful place coming, I believe in every area of life that we live, whether it's our families, or just our lives, we need to be conscious of our conduct. Last Sunday in the new members class, we talked about being fruitful as a believer. Is there such a thing as an unfruitful believer? I don't believe there is. Where does our fruit come from? I believe as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that is where our fruit originates from. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't have fruit in our lives, I don't believe. The Holy Spirit will guide us to live lives in accordance to God's Word. If we choose to live separate from obedience to God's Word and not listening to the life that we have inside of us, are we making provisions to enter our Canaan, as it talks about in John 14? If we're not obeying that voice inside of us, or if we're not obeying, if we're living separate lives from what God has told us to live in His Scripture, can we live lives doing things that damage our witness to Christ? For example, listen to music that doesn't honor Christ. Watch movies that we know aren't pleasing to Christ. Or even going online to sites that not only displease God, but that will walk us, that will lead us into addiction to sin. Can we do things like that? Are we making provisions to enter our homeland by doing things like that? Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. I have set the Lord continually before me. What does that mean? That means that the Lord is always in our minds no matter what we do. It doesn't matter what, if it's even in the music we listen to, the music we watch, the Lord is continually before us. So are we making provision for our new home? It's going to affect every aspect of our lives. And I would just like to challenge each one of you. We're going to be kneeling for prayer here in a minute, but I'd like to challenge each one of you. We're going to just have a moment of silence as we kneel. If there's anything that we need to clean up, areas that we need to confess, areas that we need to surrender. As we kneel for prayer, I would like each one of you just to search your heart, just to quiet yourself before God and commit to making these changes. Because I believe that if we aren't experiencing the rest of Christ in our lives, it's very possible that there's things in our lives that we need to let go of. And that may be keeping us from entering the rest that God has for us. So at this time, if you're able to kneel, we're going to kneel for a word of prayer. And I want you to just spend a minute just searching your hearts.